Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, October 27th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
shares of Meta plunge on another big tech earnings disappointment.
Apple and Amazon are up next, set to report this afternoon.
Credit Suisse unveils a massive overhaul. We speak to the bank's CEO.
And the European Central Bank is set to raise rates to the highest level in more than a decade.
New Jersey Senator Menendez faces another federal investigation. Plus, President Biden warns Russia any nuclear attack would be an incredibly serious mistake. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Overtime at the Garden. The Knicks beat Charlotte. The Nets lost in Milwaukee. The Islanders shut out the Rangers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. S&P futures, little change this morning. While NASDAQ futures fall, we're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, again, S&P futures are a little change. Dow futures up 101, while NASDAQ futures are down 51. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 13/32, yield 4.05%, and the yield on the 2-year, 4.43%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with another tech earnings disappointment. A day after Microsoft and Google shares plunged, we're watching shares of Meta platforms fall 20% this morning. The Facebook owner gave a revenue forecast on the low end of estimates. We get more from Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow in our 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
What spooked investors, at least in the first instance, was the tepid forecast Meta gave for sales in the current period. Revenue will be between $30 and $32.5 billion in the final 3 months of this year, below street expectations. And the story is one we know. The softening ad market is hurting Meta. We went into this knowing that would be the case. But as the call started and went on, it became clear that actually what's spooking investors is Meta and Zuckerberg's commitment to fuel and fund this transition to the metaverse. Zuckerberg said that actually on a year-on-year basis, Meta Reality Labs would continue to have growing losses. Ed Ludlow for Bloomberg News in San Francisco.
All right, Ed, thanks. And big tech earnings continue today. We have a pair of giants reporting this afternoon, and Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has more.
Apple and Amazon are both scheduled to report after the markets close today. Analysts at Wedbush Securities say higher iPhone prices and an improving supply chain may have helped Apple beat revenue forecasts. B of A Securities says Amazon likely posted faster revenue growth for online stores and third-party sellers. But both companies face headwinds. Apple is dealing with the stronger dollar and weakness in China. And a ho-hum second Prime Day event at Amazon suggested more spending is going offline. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thanks. Back to the market now. Futures are mixed ahead of those earnings and despite disappointing results from Meta. Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson is a well-known stock market skeptic who correctly predicted this year's slump. Now he thinks the bear market in U.S. equities could conclude sooner than many think.
Ultimately, the bear market will be over probably sometime in the first quarter. Now, all of this is, you know, subject to revision, right? So I want to make it perfectly clear, if the market starts to trade off again and the S&P breaks down and blows through 3650 on the downside, we'll be bearish again.
Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson was ranked the number one portfolio strategist in the latest institutional investor survey.
Well, in Europe, Nathan, a bank in turmoil is front and center this morning. Shares of Credit Suisse are down almost 11% after posting its fourth straight quarterly loss. The Swiss bank is unveiling a massive turnaround plan, which includes a $4 billion capital raise, a carve-out of its investment bank, and thousands of job cuts. It's the most urgent attempt yet to repair Credit Suisse after huge losses and management chaos. We spoke this morning with CEO Ulrich Körner.
What is new Credit Suisse? You know, it's a much simpler, more stable, much more focused bank going forward, which will deliver sustainably profitable results to our shareholders.
Credit Suisse CEO Ulrich Körner made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix. Stay tuned for more of that conversation coming up shortly on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Staying in Europe, Karen, it is a big day for the European Central Bank. The ECB is expected to lift its main interest rate to the highest level in more than a decade. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Leanne Garens.
A 75 basis point hike is a consensus view for today's policy decision from the ECB. Anything else would be a big surprise, so looking past the recession fears to keep targeting inflation. Less clear, though, is whether we'll get any indications around a timeline for quantitative tightening, and something investors are watching closely, any moves to limit the gains banks are making from the ECB's crisis program of cheap loans. In London, I'm Leanne Gerrans, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Leanne, thanks. Back here in the U.S., economic growth is in focus. The government issues data on third quarter GDP this morning. Forecasts call for a gain of 2.4%, and Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
GDP posted back-to-back losses in the first and second quarters. Bloomberg Economics says the third quarter's headline rebound may conceal trouble in the details, such as sales and business inventories. There are other U.S. data on tap today. Manufacturing data, factory orders for durable goods, may indicate moderation, reflecting U.S. inflation fears. In the U.S. labor market, Bloomberg Economics' weekly jobless claims will probably continue to hover around historic lows. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Vinny, thank you. Let's turn to geopolitics now and a potential setback for President Biden's economic pressure on Russia. The administration is now being forced to rework its plans for price caps on Russian oil. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
It looks like they're going to have to scale back their plans in light of the volatility in the markets. Instead of strangling the Kremlin's oil revenues by imposing a strict lid on prices, U.S. and European Union are likely to have to settle for more loosely policed cap at a higher price than once envisioned. An earlier iteration of the plan had the cap in the range of $40 to $60 per barrel, but now it looks like it will have to be much higher. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thanks. Finally, the world's richest man is telling Twitter employees he does not plan to cut 75% of staff. Bloomberg News has learned that Elon Musk denied those numbers in an address to workers at the company's San Francisco office. Still, the billionaire is still expected to cut some staff when he takes over the company. The $44 billion deal is expected to close tomorrow.
Yeah, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Built on advanced technologies and 50 years of innovation, SEI offers asset managers a comprehensive and flexible operations outsourcing platform. Go to SEIC.com/managers. This is Bloomberg. And it is now 6:07 on Wall Street. It's 57 degrees in Central Park. Still got that overturned tractor trailer in Rockaway, westbound Route 80. We'll tell you more in traffic. First, Michael Barr is here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New Jersey Democratic Senator Robert Menendez faces another federal investigation. About 5 years after a trial on federal corruption charges ended in a mistrial, a Menendez advisor says Senator Menendez is aware of an investigation. However, he does not know the scope of the investigation. The probe is being conducted by federal prosecutors in the Southern District of New York. President Biden warned Russia's Vladimir Putin that any use of a nuclear weapon would be an incredibly serious mistake. It comes as Russia says it carried out military exercises simulating a retaliatory nuclear strike. Meanwhile, former U.S. Special Representative for Ukraine negotiations and former Ambassador to NATO, Kurt Volker, talked about Russia's claims without evidence that Kyiv's forces intend to use a so-called dirty bomb.
What Putin is doing is he is trying to get inside the heads of leaders in the West to make them feel that this is too dangerous. And we have to tell the Ukrainians to surrender somehow, give up territory, you know, concede to Putin something.
Former NATO Ambassador Kurt Volker spoke on Sound On, which airs at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg. Iranian security forces opened fire on protesters. In the past 40 days, thousands of people have taken to the streets to denounce the death of a 22-year-old woman in custody of the country's morality police. She was accused of breaking Iran's strict dress code. State Department spokesperson Vinod Patel reiterated U.S. efforts to support protesters in more than 100 cities in Iran.
The regime's ongoing violent crackdown, pervasive surveillance of citizens, and disruption of communications are the latest reminder of the Islamic Republic's flagrant disregard for the fundamental freedoms and human rights of Iranians.
Spokesman Patel says Iran's leadership is facing a problem of its own making. With just weeks until the midterm elections, a second woman has come forward claiming that she got pregnant and then had an abortion paid for by Georgia GOP Senate candidate Herschel Walker. Walker addressed Jane Doe's allegations during a campaign event, saying he is done with this foolishness and denied the allegations. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi with John Stanshire.
All right, Nathan, the Knicks back this season with pretty much the same roster with one exception, the addition of Jalen Brunson, the new Knick point guard, on display at the Garden. 27 points, 13 assists, 7 rebounds. Knicks beat Charlotte 134-131 in overtime. They're off to a 3-1 start. Worth noting, they began last season 5-1 and still ended up a down year missing the playoffs. The Nets just 1-3, lost in Milwaukee 110-99. Too much Giannis Antetokounmpo, 43 points. Kevin Durant had 33. Steve Nash got ejected for the first time in his coaching career. LeBron James had not started the season 0-4 since his rookie year in Cleveland 20 years ago. The Lakers are 0-4. They lost in Denver. Rangers started 3-1. They've lost their last four. They've scored only 5 goals over those 4 games. Shut out at the UBS Arena by the Islanders. Ilya Sorokin, Kyle Palmieri scored twice. The Isles won 3-0. Week 8 starts tonight at Tampa Bay, where Tom Brady and the Bucs just 3-4. They take on Baltimore. Giants look for a 7-1 start Sunday in Seattle. A lot of reasons for the Giants' improvement, but one, certainly Daniel Jones having thrown only 2 interceptions.
We're trying to make quicker decisions, trying to get the ball out of my hands as soon as possible. I don't think that's any different from things I've done in the past. I think, you know, you're better at it every week, and I'm certainly better at it than I've been in the past. So that's the goal for me, is to continue to be quicker and make the right decision and get the ball in my hand.
Jones was just named NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Hal Steinbrenner's first comment since the end of the season. The Yankees owner said he doesn't see the Yanks not keeping manager Aaron Boone. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
Thanks, John. S&P futures up 3 points. Dow futures up 109. NASDAQ futures lower by 43 points. Meta Platforms shares down almost 20 points. We'll talk about the numbers with Alex Webb of Bloomberg Quick Take. This is Bloomberg. And the Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. NASDAQ futures lower this morning as Meta Platforms drops almost 20% in early trading after reporting earnings. NASDAQ futures are down 42 points. S&P futures, they're little changed. Dow futures up 106, and the DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 14/32, yield 4.06%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.43%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1% now, up 8 cents at $87.99 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $3 at $16.66.20 an ounce. And the euro is at 1.0043 against the dollar. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Russia carried out military exercises simulating a retaliatory nuclear strike as President Joe Biden warned Vladimir Putin that any use of a nuclear weapon would be an incredibly serious mistake. Secretary of State Antony Blinken accused China of undermining the decades-long status quo that has kept both nations from going to war over Taiwan, saying Beijing was trying to speed up its seizure of the island. A second woman has come forward claiming Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker paid for her to have an abortion. Walker denied the allegation, saying, "I am done with this foolishness." In the NBA, the Knicks won in overtime over the Hornets 134-131. The Nets lost. In hockey, the Islanders blanked the Rangers 3-0. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:19 now on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak as we continue to keep our focus on Meta Platforms, the latest big tech company to report earnings. And the shares this morning are down nearly 20%. It's a disappointing revenue forecast and the prospect for soaring costs as the CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, continues his pivot away from Facebook to the metaverse. Let's bring back a Bloomberg Quick Take correspondent Alex Webb for more on this. And it really is a cost story, isn't it, Alex?
Yes. Look, we knew that the revenue was going to decline. It actually beat analysts' expectations. The shock was really on the bottom line, where on most of the profit measures, it fell short of expectations. And that clearly reflects the capital that Facebook is now spending on new products, that is, of course, metaverse, hardware and software, but it's also like efforts to fend off TikTok, which is, you know, tearing into its core market of online ads, particularly online ads that target that lucrative 18 to 35 year old demographic.
And we're seeing the difficulty that not just Facebook, but a lot of other social media companies are finding now getting that ad revenue in this difficult economic environment. And that's supposed to be the underpinning for Zuckerberg's plans to build out the metaverse. I mean, what's the challenge going forward?
The challenge he faces is using the capital to invest in something which he can convince investors is going to deliver growth ultimately, and then clearly delivering that growth. In order for the product to be appealing, it not only has to be good technologically, but it needs to be a platform. It needs to be a gateway into loads of other fun, interesting experiences. And those experiences only really come about if you've got a rich community of developers and companies building products for your platform. That's what Apple has for iOS. That's what Google has for Android. And Apple has been laying the groundwork for whatever its augmented and virtual reality product ends up looking like for several years. So maybe 5 or 6 years where you can do augmented reality things on a fairly rudimentary level. You can do augmented reality things with your iPhone. Some of those products will then presumably be ported into that new product that Apple will unveil perhaps as soon as next year. Facebook doesn't have those millions of developers. So even if its product is blockbuster when it, you know, really matures, unless it has all of those opportunities within its platform, it'll struggle to compete.
Well, if we do see Apple on more of a solid footing, could that bode well for the earnings that Apple reports after the bell today?
I think probably given the cadence of negative news that we've had from earnings season so far, expectations are probably not all that high for Apple. We already have reporting from our colleagues Mark Gurman and Debbie Wu about the number of iPhones they had planned to produce in this quarter, that some of those have maybe been tamped back a little bit already. So we have some signals about how well it's going to do. You know, Apple has managed to build a pretty resilient business by beefing up its services offering. That includes things like iCloud, the App Store, Apple Music, Apple TV Plus, all those sort of products. And the net effect of those is that it glues people more tightly to their iPhones. And so it makes it way harder to say, actually, I'm going to scrap my iPhone and go to Android because you've invested so heavily in that ecosystem. And so that means that even in these sort of climates where it can be harder to sell the products, Apple manages to kind of do pretty well. So the optimism around Apple is perhaps a little bit brighter, tempered, of course, by what's been happening in recent weeks.
Yeah, we've heard as well that Apple's going to be raising prices on some of those services that so many of those customers are glued to. We'll get those official numbers, as I say, after the bell later this afternoon. Alex Webb of Bloomberg Quick Take, as always, thanks for the double duty this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. And once again, checking shares of Meta Platforms in the pre-market, Karen, they are down 19.5%.
Well, Nathan, it is 6:23 on Wall Street, and now we're going to bring you back to our interview with Credit Suisse CEO Ulrich Körner. The bank's unveiled a plan that includes a multi-billion-dollar capital raise, massive job cuts, and a carve-out of the investment bank. CEO Ulrich Körner talked about the three-year restructuring plan with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix.
This is, as you say, a big day. We are all glad that we are there. It's a big day also for all our people. When we're announcing now today what is basically New Credit Suisse. And what is New Credit Suisse? You know, it's a much simpler, more stable, much more focused bank going forward, which will deliver sustainably profitable results to our shareholders. And what is very important, if I may add here, how we came here, so to say, we took a very hard look, you know, at the needs of our clients and designed everything around the needs of our clients.
So what was your overarching theme? How did you come up with this plan? What was your reasoning in getting here?
Many different reasons. I think the, as I said, the bank is slightly too complicated today. The bank has parts which are not profitable enough, as we all know, from the shareholder perspective. And that's why we came up with, you know, the need of taking very decisive actions in mainly three different areas. The one is radical restructuring of the investment bank. The second one is significant reducing costs going forward, as you have seen. And the third one...
It is time for the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR Event Trader offers a new way to trade futures. Use event contracts to trade your opinion on yes or no questions in key CME futures markets. Learn more at eventtrader.interactivebrokers.com. Up first, shares of Meta Platforms are down about 19.5% in early trading after the company gave a disappointing outlook. It also revealed ballooning cost to fund its virtual reality project, the Metaverse. CEO Mark Zuckerberg pleaded patience on a call with investors.
I think we're going to resolve each of these things over different periods of time, and I appreciate the patience, and I think that those who are patient and invest with us will end up being rewarded.
Mark Zuckerberg says Meta's long-term bets will pay off, but did not explain further.
Well, sticking with big tech, Karen, we get two massive earnings reports after the bell today when Apple and Amazon report. Looking at Twitter, Bloomberg News has learned Tesla CEO Elon Musk, who is set to take over the company tomorrow, told employees he does not plan to cut 75% of them, as previously reported. Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow has more.
He didn't explicitly rule out layoffs, generally speaking. He walked in to the Market Street office carrying a kitchen sink earlier, and I think that the joke was, this is really happening, and we should all let that sink in.
Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow says Elon Musk will meet with staff tomorrow when his $44 billion deal to buy Twitter is set to close.
Well, Nathan, turning to the markets this morning, U.S. futures are mixed as earnings season continues. Notorious bear Mike Wilson says his team at Morgan Stanley believes the downward trend in U.S. equities may conclude soon.
We're still bearish in the intermediate term. We don't think the bear market's over, but we do think this tactical rally is going to be big enough to try and pivot and trade it.
Morgan Stanley chief equity strategist Mike Wilson says that outlook could still change. Traders will also be watching economic data today. We get a reading on third quarter U.S. GDP at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
Over in Europe, Karen, banks are in focus with Credit Suisse down 12% after posting its fourth straight quarterly loss. The bank also unveiled a massive turnaround plan that includes a multi-billion dollar capital raise, a carve out of its investment bank, and massive job cuts. CEO Ulrich Körner spoke with us about the plans.
We want to go through the transformation of the next 3 years with a very, very strong capital base. It will become profitable definitely from 2024 onwards.
CEO Ulrich Körner says Credit Suisse does plan to be profitable again starting in 2024.
And we are watching earnings cross the Bloomberg right now. We are hearing from Caterpillar. It reported a third quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. Southwest also reporting its profit beating analyst estimates as well in the third quarter. Merck also beating analyst estimates, and it boosted its sales forecast for the fiscal year. Taking a look at futures this morning, right now S&P futures are up about 3 points. Dow futures up 132, and NASDAQ futures are down 43. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 633 on Wall Street, 57 degrees in Central Park. Still got that overturned tractor trailer westbound 80 in Rockaway. Michael Barr is still here, too, with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Democratic Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey, who avoided conviction on corruption charges 5 years ago, is reportedly the subject of a new federal investigation. An advisor for the senator, Michael Sullivan, says Senator Menendez is aware of an investigation. However, he does not know the scope of the investigation. No word on what sort of alleged wrongdoing was involved. Russia carried out military exercises simulating a retaliatory nuclear strike as President Joe Biden warned Vladimir Putin that any use of a nuclear weapon would be an incredibly serious mistake. Echoing Biden's warning of grave consequences, Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke in an interview with Bloomberg.
We haven't seen reason to change our own nuclear posture, but it's something that we're tracking very carefully, and we've also communicated directly and very clearly to the Russians, to President Putin, about the consequences that would flow from any use of a nuclear device.
The Pentagon says the U.S. had been notified that Russia would conduct the exercise in compliance with arms control obligations. New York City is expected to make a historic appointment this morning. Laura Kavanaugh will be the first woman FDNY commissioner. Kavanaugh, who was the second in command, has been acting commissioner since Daniel Nigro's retirement in February. New York City will slash the number of middle schools that rely on competitive admission criteria known as screens by nearly 70% in the coming academic year and increase the use of lotteries. According to the New York City Department of Education, the number of screened middle schools will decrease to 59 from 196. School Chancellor David Banks called it a simpler and fairer process. This is all a lie. That's the response from U.S. Senate candidate Herschel Walker to a second accusation from a former girlfriend who says Walker paid for her to get an abortion. Walker, appearing at a campaign stop in Dillard, Georgia, dismissed the matter as nothing more than a stunt brought on by his political opponents.
He got crushed at that debate. Now the Democrats are doing say whatever they can to win this party, to win this seat. But I want them to know they don't know Herschel Walker.
Walker added, I'm done with this foolishness. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, the Knicks, who began their season with an overtime loss, had themselves an overtime win at the Garden against Charlotte. Knicks led by 12 and then trailed by 5 with just over 2 minutes left. Jalen Brunson, big three-pointer in OT, and the Knicks won 134-131. Big night for Brunson, the new point guard. Scored 27, he had 13 assists, 7 rebounds.
But when we're not playing our best and when we give up leads, you know, how can we respond? And those are signs of good teams. If we can do that consistently, I think we're going to put ourselves in a position where we can be the best team we can be. But I think this is a good step for us. We definitely got to continue to get better, but this is a good step.
After 3 home wins, it'll be tougher for the Knicks tomorrow in Milwaukee. Bucks are 3-0. They just beat the Nets 110-99. Nets had a big second quarter. They were up 12 at the half, then outscored second half 67-44. The second half is where Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 34 of his 43 points. In the UBS Arena, Islanders shut out the slumping Rangers 3-0. 41 saves for Ilya Sorokin. Kyle Palmieri scored twice. Rangers have scored only 5 goals in their last 4 games. NFL tonight, Baltimore at slumping Tampa Bay. Bucks just 3-4. Tom Brady hasn't had a record like that since 20 years ago in New England. Speaking of the Patriots, they visit the Jets Sunday. The Pats have won the last 12 meetings, and Mac Jones will reportedly be their starting QB, despite getting benched the other night. The Giants Sunday in Seattle. Giants just had 2 starting offensive linemen suffer knee injuries, but Nick Gates has been activated out since week 2 last season when Gates suffered a gruesome leg injury that needed 7 surgeries. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. David.
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is watching earnings cross the Bloomberg just this morning, but Meta Platforms is still overshadowing everything, Kriti.
Oh, absolutely. It is taking the cake in terms of simply the story to know. Meta Platforms, META, is your ticker, formerly known as Facebook, we should add, down about 20% in the pre-market. But it's interesting because there's a little bit of a ripple effect here. Now, no surprise, they did say they're dealing with a lot of the issues that you heard in Alphabet and Microsoft's earnings as well. Inflation, higher cost as well. But they really emphasize this idea about just how much they're investing on the metaverse and just how much that's going to cost and eat into their bottom line. But Mark Zuckerberg coming out and saying, you know what, guys, stick with us, have faith in the long-term process, trying to reassure investors it's not really working out for the shares this morning. And remember, shares were already down about 61% this year, now down another 20% in the pre-market. So that's going to be significant. But what's also interesting is as he talked about these kind of skyrocketing costs, these investments into the metaverse, there's another company that benefited off of that, and that is NVIDIA. NVDA is your ticker, up 2.9%. Now, we know a lot of these kind of chip companies, NVIDIA specifically, have been trying to branch out and diversify a little bit. NVIDIA specifically also makes chips for data warehouses that one day could power the metaverse. So the idea here being that if Facebook or Meta, now known as Meta, actually invests more and more in their kind of metaverse technology and the underlying servers, NVIDIA actually benefits because they get that business from Facebook. So kind of a little interesting domino effect.
Yeah. There. Well, let's talk about some of these earnings that just crossed a few beats this morning, Creedy.
A few beats this morning. I'm going to start with Southwest here because some good numbers coming out of there, up about 4% in the pre-market. The ticker is LUV. Now, they did come out and they said that they're actually seeing a passenger revenue come out about $5.6 billion. The estimate was 5.66, so about in line, which is good news for a lot of these airlines that are perhaps looking at a consumer that is less willing to spend, perhaps. Nevertheless, it is boosting those shares. You also have Merck, by the way. MRK is your ticker. Another beat for them, up about 0.6%. And what's great about this company is that they not only beat their estimates, they boosted their full-year sales forecast. That is not something you hear very often going into, like I said, what's expected to be a leaner Christmas, a leaner holiday season. Nevertheless, Merck really benefiting. I should say very quickly, Honeywell as well, H-O-N, spiking about 7% in the pre-market.
All right, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us this morning as we continue to watch the market as a whole ahead of the open. Futures are mixed. S&P futures, little change to the downside. Now, Dow futures are still higher, up 145 points. NASDAQ futures still on the decline. They are down 65 points. And the 10-year Treasury now down 15, 30 seconds. The yield 4.06%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
It's another busy morning for corporate earnings. S&P futures are a little change, while NASDAQ futures are falling. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are mixed amid the plunge in Facebook this morning. Dow futures currently higher by 156 points. S&Ps are a little changed, like you said, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 67. The U.S. 10-year yield at 4.08%. Gold is down 3. Oil is trading in the green. And Bitcoin is lower by 1%. Hong Kong rose 0.7% overnight, while European markets are trading mostly lower this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, GDP, initial jobs claims, and durable goods orders. After the bell last night, Facebook did report shares are down 20% in the pre-market. And Ford trimmed its outlook. Regarding some of the earnings this morning, Merck boosted its fiscal year adjusted EPS forecast and Caterpillar beat estimates. In other news, people familiar said that Elon Musk told Twitter staff he doesn't plan to cut 75% of jobs. And wrapping things up, Ferrari was raised to buy at HSBC. Facebook cut to equal weight at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Russian President Vladimir Putin personally oversaw Moscow's first major nuclear drills since he invaded Ukraine, simulating a massive nuclear strike. Western allies warned Russia could use such an event as a false flag to blame Ukraine for an attack that Moscow carries out itself. The International Energy Agency says it believes global emissions will peak in 2025. The group's annual World Energy Outlook report finds that the global energy crisis, triggered by Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the ensuing increase in fuel prices, are propelling investment in renewable energy. In the NBA, the Knicks won in overtime over the Hornets, 134-131. The Nets lost. In hockey, the Islanders blanked the Rangers, 3-0. Thursday night football, tonight, the Ravens take on the Buccaneers. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. 6:49 on Wall Street, and we turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 100 national university by U.S. News and World Report and number 14 in the nation on Money's Best Colleges list. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The World Meteorological Organization says three main greenhouse gases hit record high levels in the atmosphere last year. The UN Weather Agency said of the three main types of heat-trapping greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide, the biggest jump from 2020 to 2021 was in methane. It says methane's concentrations in the air came in with the biggest year-on-year increase since regular measurements began four decades ago. Tesla faces a U.S. criminal investigation into its self-driving system. Bloomberg News has learned that the Justice Department is investigating whether the company made misleading claims about Tesla's car's ability to drive themselves. Neither the government nor Tesla are commenting. And nearly 400 school districts across the country are receiving roughly $1 billion in grants to purchase about 2,500 clean school buses under a new federal program. The Biden administration is making the grants available as part of a wider effort to accelerate the transition to zero-emission vehicles and reduce air pollution near schools and communities. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Thanks, Karen. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the Biden administration reworking its plan to cap Russian oil prices, House Republicans launching a probe into President Biden's oil reserve releases, the president honing his economic message in the waning days of the midterm campaign, and Treasury Secretary Yellen playing a more political role with a visit to battleground Ohio. Let's bring in Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick to get more on some of these stories, including some really important work by our economic team, Jack, on the Biden administration now being forced to rework its plan on a Russian oil price cap.
Yeah, this is not a great sign for the White House's ambitions for that cap. They're essentially scaling back what they had talked about. They originally talked about a $40 to $60 per barrel price on Russian oil. Our colleagues are reporting this is going to end up being somewhere in the upper range of that. And they were trying to see how many countries they could get involved in this. And as of now, it's looking like it's the group of seven nations plus Australia. And our colleagues are reporting that South Korea has also privately said that it's going to comply, and that there is an attempt to see if New Zealand and Norway could get on board. But it's going to be a smaller group of countries that makes the Russian threat that they will refuse to sell to the countries involved more legitimate. So it's sort of a reduction of the U.S.'s expectations on how much this can do after Russia has continued to make money off of oil sales and essentially continue to fund its war in Ukraine.
And of course, this is coming after the OPEC plus nations came in with that 2 million barrel a day oil production target cut announcement. And I guess signs that perhaps Saudi Arabia, the leading OPEC nation, still has a lot of sway in this global oil market.
Yeah, that was a significant factor in sort of tamping down the U.S.'s expectations for how much good could be done with this. A lot of frustration from American officials in both parties with the OPEC nations and with Saudi Arabia, especially as you see President Biden sort of maintaining the relationship there. There was quite a bit of frustration with Saudi Arabia, which is that plays into this, and was the OPEC plus cut in production definitely undermined this attempt to hold Russia's feet to the fire.
Yeah, and on top of this, Jack, this word this morning that Republicans on the House Oversight Committee are going to start an investigation into the strategic oil reserve releases that President Biden's been doing for the last couple of months here. What's going on with that?
Yes, they have sent a letter, the Republicans on the House Oversight Committee, seeking documents relating to the decisions to release oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And this is something that Republicans had criticized, saying that those releases seemed to be politically motivated, especially the ones that have occurred in the lead up to the midterms, as it obviously benefits Democrats and the party in power to see gas prices go down. But in addition to just being opposed to that, this move by the Oversight Committee Republicans kind of previews the ways that Republicans would act if they win the House and or Senate. There's going to be a significant amount of focus on oversight and investigations of the Biden administration. And so this is, almost, I guess, a move from a House Republican majority before it's a majority. This will clearly be sort of an issue on the campaign trail already. But if they do take the majority, this will be something they'll be focusing on in trying to rein in the Biden administration.
And with all this on in the backdrop, Jack, we have President Biden going back on the campaign trail to end this week. What's he going to be focused on?
He's definitely going to be focused on the economy today. This afternoon, he's going to Syracuse, New York. He's talking about an investment by Micron, a microchip manufacturer that is a pretty significant focus for Democrats after the CHIPS Act that was passed. He's also going to be headed to Philadelphia on Friday. So there's a very clear sort of federal investment and jobs message that he is pushing in certain states. There are certain places he's not going so much, Arizona, for example. But you see him going to New York State and then again another trip to Pennsylvania, where he's been a number of times recently.
And in just 30 seconds here, Jack, I guess a focus on the economy may be part of the reason why we've got Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen hitting the campaign trail in Ohio today.
Right. Going to Northeast Ohio, she's going to be talking in Cleveland about Rust Belt issues and investments, going to raise production of parts that go into electric vehicles there. It's interesting to see a Biden administration official sort of making a play where Tim Ryan is involved in the Senate race there. He's sort of distanced himself from national Democratic figures, but that very much is also his message on the quote unquote battery belt. So that's another high profile push from the Biden administration.
Yeah, also interesting to see someone who you think of more as steeped in the economy rather than potentially a political speaker going out and hitting the stump. But we'll leave it there for now. Jack Fitzpatrick of Bloomberg Government, as always, thanks for the update from Washington. And you can read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen for updates on all those appearances today on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. And tune into Bloomberg Daybreak tomorrow. We're going to wrap up tech earnings and get reaction to the results after the bell today from Apple and Amazon. Gene Munster, the co-founder of Loop Ventures, will join us tomorrow morning to recap big tech. Looking ahead to the market open this morning, futures are now mixed. S&P futures, little change to lower. Dow futures up 142. NASDAQ futures down 70 points. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.